Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women we slap in the meat in the middle of a square circle, the stories they be telling in the process, brother.
That's right. Look, I sound like an old school New York gangster. I am GB. You got Matt. You have Jake. And of course, we have a fun show in store for you guys today. Don't forget that if you like this episode, if you're watching on YouTube, you should leave a comment. You can also do that on Spotify as well. Give us your thoughts.
I got to stop you. You can't do that on Spotify.
Yes, you can. You can't comment on Spotify.
You can only do it on Apple Podcasts. Spotify, you can only rate.
You can't comment anymore on Spotify?
I've never been able to.
I listen to the weekly podcast with Jon Stewart all the time, and I read the comments all the time, unless I'm tripping. But I'm pretty sure.
Dog.
No, I think you should open up.
All you can do, you go to a podcast.
You know what? Forget it. Don't worry about commenting on spot. Just open your window and yell your love
to the damn show
for the show out the window to your neighbors.
Ultimately, that's all we really care about. Just share the show.
Word of mouth.
I'm going to remove all that shit and just say, share the show. Do that, okay? That's what we want you to do. You could do so by commenting down below with some mate, all right? Lay down some mate, as always. Let us know what's going on here. Jake, March Madness, more actions this weekend, right? There's more March Madness?
Yes, it will be right now. I guess it would be... we're doing the WWE show right now, right? Yeah, so it'll be Friday. So... Alabama actually plays Thursday, so we'll already know if they're into the Elite Eight.
We would have already won at that point, right? Yes. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, that'll be going on this weekend.
How nervous are you for them? Do you get more nervous for the basketball or do you get more nervous for the football? Like, as a fan.
Oh, my God. Honestly, more nervous for the football.
Yeah, I could see that.
Nervous for the football. But I get just as angry at this basketball team as I do our football team. So.
Okay, that's fair. So, but the anger doesn't change, but the concern, the anxiety levels definitely register differently. Okay, I like that. I like that.
Football has a legacy to uphold. Our basketball team does not. So we're in new uncharted territory here, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's true. It's always fun to be a part of the ride for something like that. You know, and be a fan to see it. Who knows? Let's see. Go Alabama, hopefully. Oh boy. Matt, what about you? What you got going on this weekend? Anything?
As you're watching this, TNA is currently in St. Joseph, Missouri, in the shadows of Kansas City. If you want to have an idea of where it is, it's a little just outside the KC area. So we'll be filming 2 days of television
while you're there.
Oh yeah.
That's and awesome. These will be our episodes that are leading up to Rebellion in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So we'll have by the time the weekend is out, at least I will know, the viewers won't yet, but I will know where we are locking things up for Rebellion, one of our big shows of the year.
Oh, I am excited about that. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to check out our TNA weekly show that comes out every Thursday, only on YouTube, where you can comment. By the way, you can. What I have been told by the higher ups. Just an FYI. As always, though, we like to try and bring in, our audience into the show, get your guys' thoughts and opinions and how you feel about things. One of the points of discussion was on crowds and how good the European crowd has been in WWE. And we've had some fun ones here. This one in particular, our dear friend Chesto, 8,618th of his name, had some thoughts on the European crowds, basically saying that US needs to find new material because chanting what every 10 seconds is lame. Totally agree on that, but they did do that.
They ironically did that.
So I don't know if that's applicable necessarily, but I mean, honestly, we were talking about this in our Discord, and Matt, I know that a lot of people had different opinions on it, but I kind of want to get your take here officially on the pod. What is your view on the crowd participation in the promo, making or breaking it? Because I know there was a discussion.
Right. No, so I love it. And I think it makes it so much fun to watch, and it makes people, and you can tell like these, I feel like crowds are watching the other ones and be like, oh, we're going to come up with even more clever stuff. The only exception I took was, it was like, oh, that crowd made the segment.
Oh yeah,
I disagree.
Now you do
a crowd again, a crowd, but it is a good coat of paint on a car. Mm-hmm. It can hide blemishes. It can make it look better than it is or whatever. But the car is either good or it's not.
Yeah,
a really great crowd can cover that up, and a really bad crowd can expose it. But like, if it's good, the content is good. It's good. Luckily, it was all good this week with a lot of the promos and stuff, but from between Roman and Punk and Seth and Cena and stuff like that. Content was good, in my opinion. And then the crowds are just adding to it and everything like that. So these European TVs are very cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely are. And I, you know, I mean, we didn't really get an opportunity to talk about, like, well, we're going to talk more about like everything that had happened on SmackDown previously. But I guess, you know, we just want to really reinforce how freaking smart this European tour was for WWE. So smart. Crowds are going to be white hot because they don't get a lot of WWE. They don't get a lot of like pro wrestling in person like that. So they're going to be over the moon excited. It's always going to feel like a super big deal. But then also like the atmosphere in each region has been very different. Scotland's had very different unique. Chants from Brussels, and Brussels has had different chants from Italy. And it has been freaking dope across the board. I've loved it. Do you want to know what else I love, fellas? Narrative notes. Yes, I do. Love me some narrative. And that's our new segment that we're doing, where we go over all the stuff that happened in WWE TV this week. Funny enough, as I was building this out and we were talking about it, I realized I didn't mark down anything for talking about the Punk Roman Seth thing. But we could talk about that ad hoc later. Oh, we will talk about it. Yeah, let's discuss, though, what's been going on here. Because Drew McIntyre, Jake, blames Damian Priest for everything, and that is the reason why he's been attacking him. And you know what, man's got a point.
You think so?
Yeah, because think about it, man,
this whole thing
happened because Damian Priest cashed in his Money in the Bank contract onto Drew McIntyre, and then that led to everything that has happened since then.
This is sad that you're on this train with him, you know,
like, okay,
this is like, I've heard every excuse in the book from sports fans about everything. And this is the stereotypical, it's never your fault. Sometimes your team just sucks.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes your team just sucks. It's not always on the ref. It's not always on the matchup that you got, that you had put together. It's not the higher ups. Maybe you need to, you know what, Drew, I think you need to do? I think you need to turn on some tunes. You need to pour yourself a nice glass of scotch. You need to smoke a joint and look inward, my friend. You need to chill. And you need to realize that you brought some of this shit on yourself.
And don't tweet. No tweeting.
No tweeting.
During this time.
No tweeting, sweetheart.
How much you like
none of that. Yeah. None of that. Just you need an Aaron Rodgers darkness retreat to go on and just sit in your own feelings for a while and get it out and come back a new man.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I mean, look, hey, I'm not saying that Drew is right. I'm just saying I can understand his perspective, because, you know, since that, a lot of things have happened to him. But you're not wrong.
But see, it's
at some point, you got to look inward. Yeah. You got to self-reflect.
Yeah, but then if CM Punk was never born, then this wouldn't have happened.
Right. Ultimately, is what the problem is.
Yeah. And that's the problem. Is that Drew McIntyre is going to create a time machine to travel back in time and kill a baby CM Punk.
Yeah, at the rate that his character is going at.
And that will fix everything.
He'll have to hit up Loki and see if he can find one of those threads to ride to another dimension or something. Well, of course, we'll be keeping eyes on that. But I am excited for this match for these two guys. If this is like leading into something with Mania, or maybe
it looks like it is. Yeah.
I think this is going to be great. And, you know, these are two big guys. So you're going to get some, you know, big meaty men slapping meat. always a good thing. Never going to complain about it. We also had Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga interfere in Jacob Fatu's number one contender match, giving Braun Strowman a title opportunity with LA Knight this Friday, today, on SmackDown. I don't really expect Strowman to win the belt out of this one, but man, that'd be really fun to see him win, and then you just get like some movement of the title all over the place, but I don't think they're going to do it. But yeah, I mean, everything has indicated to me, Matt, that this is leading to a friction, because there's some friction there between Solo and Jacob that they're clearly wanting to explore here. So is this more of a bloodline finally crumbling angle, or is this like a Jacob Fatu going on his own to become a champion angle? Like, where what's your read on this?
That's kind of my big vibe. They've obviously picked up, on the Jacob vibes, as we all have. We've seen it the last several months. And this feels similar-ish to the Intercontinental title situation on Monday Night Raw. I feel like there's like a faction involved, but with a couple of extra players. And it feels like it's leading to like a multi-man match at Mania, which may facilitate some breakoffs of that group. In the case of the Judgment Day, maybe a Finn or Dom implosion coming off of Braun and Penta and the IC title. And here, I think we might see something with Solo, Jacob, LA Knight, Braun, or maybe somebody else comes in before Mania and we have some big scramble. And then, but I think it's going to lead to a little bit of a bloodline implosion, at least for between Jacob and Solo.
Yeah, there does seem to be something in the air with this, but not much more at this point in time.
No.
Maybe we get a little bit more on SmackDown tonight. We'll see. But
it's sizzling right now.
It is sizzling.
Not cooked yet. It's sizzling.
I like how everything that we have is like a reference to meat. I feel like we really should have just made of all of our branding meat, you know, just meat related.
We kind of have, and it's not too late for them.
It's true. We are the arbiters of our own fate. We can't control this, you know, so we have opportunities here. All right. Well, moving on, though, to some more of the stuff that's been going on. Matt, Bianca Belair, she's doing something fun. She's going to be a special guest referee for Rhea versus Io Sky next week. And Matt, surely nothing is going to go wrong.
No, I mean, and clearly befuddled Adam Pearce is not worried at all about this. I'm sure he's so sure that, this has gotten out of control. Okay, it is not going to be a triple threat match. It is not, is basically telling us that it 100% will be, because if you want a clear and concise situation like that, you throw the other contender in there in a very controlling role in a title match like that. So yeah, of course, shenanigans, chicanery abound.
I just don't know what the business reason that Adam Pearce would add Bianca Belair if he was looking to bring tensions down.
Adam Pearce is doing his best, okay?
He is a dad who has been put in
charge of a girls' soccer team that he was not prepared to coach for. He doesn't know the game, and he's just doing his best. He's just like, yeah, girls, go over there and run a drill. I don't know.
You want the juice boxes?
I'm so frazzled right now.
Okay.
That's all he is.
I'm going to say this much, though.
I don't know who forgot the orange slices this week, but girls, we're going to practice anyway.
It's really difficult for me to see Adam Pearce as an authority figure when I have one of the best authority figures on all of pro wrestling television, Santino Marella, coming in and week out, laying down the law. He lays down the law. He lets people know what's going on. Okay, he does it just like this. Okay, and I really think that Adam Pearce needs to go to Santino Marella's school for pro wrestling authority management figure. Authority
school
figure.
For managers who can't manage good and wish they could do better.
We should make this curriculum. I think we should make the curriculum and then sell it so that this way we can maybe make a little money off of this.
We can also do a referee course.
A free referee course, especially for AEW referees. You will get a 10% discount. So, because we want you to be better.
Before we move on, one more thing, though. And I say this to everyone who is going to be in a brawl segment with your championship contenders and everything. Please, if you're just fighting, please don't do wrestling spots.
If you want European fighting uppercuts?
Like, I want you to just fight. Another, just two dichotomies. The Romans, Seth, and Punk set was great. They just brawled. Nobody was really doing. They hit each other with it. The girls segment with Rhea, Bianca, it turned into like, hut, hut, and I toss this onto you, and then I'm going to grab you in my finish and flip over here. And just fight. Just fight. Yeah. And then clear the ring, and somebody hits a finish, and that's it. They got, I think it's like, just don't get too fancy. It's a brawl. If you guys are in a six-woman tag match, dude, go spot crazy.
Yeah.
But like in a brawl where tempers are just flaring, why are you like setting up belly to back suplexes and stuff like that? It just takes me out of it a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's fair. I mean, look, all I'm going to say is that this has been fun, but now I'm looking forward to the interaction, you know, like the official interaction in a match. I'm looking forward to it. Oh,
yeah, I think this will be a really good match when it comes to a head. Yeah, for sure.
It's definitely going to be, even like what we're going to get on Raw with Rhea and Io, and then with Bianca, the special guest referee, and like setting everything up, it's all good. Yeah.
The thing I'll give here, actually, to be fair, two great examples, this and that same trio of Roman, Seth, and Punk, ostensibly two matches with a ton of tension in the air with all baby faces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet the tension feels real. It's not it's not that BS like I'm competitive and you are too. Let's shake on having a good like I feel like it feels very like
you feel like vitriolic, it's intentional
and everything like oh yeah. Yeah. I think and it's really well done. I love that. So many times when you have all babyface scenarios, it's always this just sense of like I respect you and I respect you. Yeah, so but don't worry, I'm going to beat you. This is
I never understood that. Like people can be good guys and not and like
still
each
hate
other.
Each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like embrace it. So I like that. What they're doing with both these three-way scenarios is that these people really have problems with each other, but they're all like on the good guy side of the fence.
Yeah. You know, and that's I think cool. That's really funny because we're always used to bad guys having problems with one another because like that's just how bad guys operate. Right. Yeah, but like, no, it's just completely freaking reasonable that good guys aren't all going to get along. And some good guys are going to get along more than others. And, you know, like it's completely, completely reasonable. I do agree on that there. Now, of course, we had a few more results. We had Piper Niven, Liv Morgan, the Street Profits, Lyra Valkyria, and the Usos picking up wins all across WWE this week. I emphasize the Usos because that was a funny moment, and I kind of felt bad because I was really excited to see the Usos back together. When I saw it was like a tag team partner would be announced, I immediately was like, oh yeah, it's Jimmy Uso. And it wasn't until the internet started pointing out to it being in Scotland where I was like, oh, maybe Joe Hendry comes out. That would be pretty cool.
And again, we said last week, blame Matt if that doesn't happen.
And now we can definitively say that it was Matt's fault that Joe Hendry did not show up in Scotland on WWE TV. Matt, what do you have to say for yourself now that you've disappointed millions of people all around the world?
The world.
The world. Yeah. The world.
I said his name first, bitches. He showed up at my house and played a guitar concert for me and my cat. Yeah. Suck it. Oh.
You bastard. You
bastard. Oh, while Raw was going on at 3 in the afternoon here.
Oh, wait.
We were in my backyard. Yeah. What? No.
Oh, I thought that would be funny. That would just be a hilarious thing.
Yes, I flew Joe into my backyard to play for me and my cat.
I don't know if you guys
in the middle of a Monday afternoon.
You guys could have been grilling, you know, making some meat. I don't know. Just throwing things out there. You know, you live in like Florida or some shit. Who knows? Anyway, but the point is,
you know where I live.
Oh yeah,
what that's
right. I know where you live. I don't know why I thought that. I just assume that everyone in my head immediately. See, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Now, I didn't call. I didn't call it a shithole. I didn't say that. Oh my god! And this is a guy from Alabama saying it. So that's how you know it's crazy. you know.
Mm-hmm. My whole state.
The Department of Education, that shit been gone over there. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Anyway, no, but jokes aside, though, Joe Hendry not showing up. Instead, it was the Usos. But I do want to ask a quick question on this whole Uso thing. Jake, I'm actually kind of liking the whole, like, they're playing off of the stumble, you know, like they're kind of using it as a means to kind of push the story forward. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? What's your make on it? What's your take?
I love it.
Yeah.
I really love it. I mean, it's, you know, like, look, I've seen, I don't know why the internet suddenly turned on Jey Uso, but they have, and they're like, I just, God doesn't deserve to be. I don't understand it. Cause you go, look, I mean, look in the friggin' arenas, everybody's eating. You can't tell me the guy's not over and that people don't love him. I understand he may not be your guy, but my God, it's wrestling. Get over it. Anyway, I love that they're doing this. It makes a ton of sense to me because it's like this great, like this doubt angle that he has of like, you know, Gunther's getting in my head. I'm starting to question myself because other people are questioning me too. I've got the yips. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Done a million times before, all of a sudden screwing up, right? How many baseball players have had that happen in a championship game, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I don't think this was an intended angle of this story, but it happened. Play with it.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy Uso slapped the shit out of Gunther.
Holy Lord.
Yeah, that was like a legit slap, right? I mean, felt like...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was a
His
close
face
up.
Was
There was
red.
No faith in that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
there
shit.
There was no work in that
so
one.
So you know naturally what's going to happen, right?
I mean, he's going to murder
Jimmy.
Yeah,
he's
going to
murder him. I mean, there's no other way around it. Because
He also smiled after it happened. After Jimmy walked off, he smiled because he knew he was like, this is going to be delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. So expect to see a murder for anyone mm-hmm. who watches the Traitors. They'll enjoy that one. When that happens, that is going to be gruesome. We'll be looking forward to that one. Now, before we move on to our main topics of discussion, I did want to address the Gulf of Mexico
elefante in the room,
the Gulf of Mexico size elephant in the room.
Beg your pardon?
Gulf of what?
Exactly.
Excusez-moi.
So El Grande Americano. Now, on its surface, I think it's actually a really funny name, and I love the whole like look.
I used to order an El Grande Americano at Starbucks all the time.
I enjoy how tongue in cheek the story is, and I will give them credit for that. I'm a big fan of Chad Gable, so I am also a fan of it. I just feel like when it comes to particular things for this particular administration, and the really, I mean, that is like the least bad thing that they've done, but like, I mean, look, and I get it. Triple H was there with Linda on her swearing in to the job that she's not going to do. So I kind of get the whole thing, but I'm still just like, maybe don't touch that. I think you can still do this whole thing. You don't need to touch that. I it's still funny without that. It doesn't need that. Now, that being said, I can also look at it on the other side and be like, well, they are clearly, this person doesn't exist. So I guess what they're saying is this person doesn't exist. Thus, this whole thing doesn't exist. And it's all made up. And then that's on the other end that you can also look at that. But I'm of the mindset where I'd rather you just not play with that particular subject matter. But I think the overall El Grande Americano thing is funny. And I like the Chad Gable's totally a luchador, but isn't angle, you know. So I like that. But then it also kind of sucks that like American Made's kind of fallen behind as a result of this as well, because I haven't really seen them all that much. So
yeah,
there's really like there's good and then there's bad with it, in my opinion, that I feel like I would have preferred a more American Made involvement with this whole thing rather than where it's at right now.
Well, there may be.
Yeah, there may be, but they haven't really indicated anything much in that regard. It's very much just been him doing this. It feels separated, if you will. But, you know, there's always opportunity. But anyway,
he's a separate person. What are you talking about? Of course, he's not.
What, Jake, he's not affiliated with American Made. What's your take on it, if you had to give one?
I mean, it's funny. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. Is like, it's a ridiculous, like, I like the idea of Chad Gable having this like rivalry with luchadors.
Yeah.
I kind of think it's fun. Like,
yeah,
like that's his weakness, is why can't I beat luchadors? I think that's kind of fun.
I love that shit.
I think it's kind of interesting. And so for him to, like, you know, he's taking it literally to be the man, you gotta beat the man. So he's becoming the man so he can beat the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That man, like, that's what he's doing. He's going about it,
inverted it
the completely opposite way. And I mean, I think it's funny. It's when they did the Gulf of America thing, I was like, to me, that was really leaning into how ridiculous.
Yeah, same. It was the same thing for me. I never took it seriously. You know what I mean? But go on. Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
So no, I think for that reason, like, it's funny. What does bother me though is that, like, why did we need Chad Gable to do this? Because it really seemed like when he was in that feud with Sami Zayn, it seemed like, okay, he's finally about to get his due. We're finally going to see him involved in a Intercontinental title picture. He's going to finally hold singles gold. And now he's doing whatever the hell this is.
Yeah.
But it's just
comedy. It's just comedy wrestling, which is like fine, you know, but it does suck because
we know that he's capable of so much more.
Yeah.
You know, so
I will agree on that part where it's like,
I don't know. We'll see where this goes. Yeah. If it's kind of like a hurricane type angle.
Let me gauge the room for you two gentlemen. So, like, Shorty G. Where is El Grande?
It's better than Shorty G.
I mean, like, it is.
Shorty G.
Yeah.
Was trying to be serious.
Yeah.
They really thought that was a good thing.
As mind boggling as that is.
I know. Yeah. And this is very tongue in cheek.
Yeah. 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 I agree on that.
It's automatically, it's self aware.
Yeah.
So for that reason, it is infinitesimally better.
The way I see this playing out is because this all started, the jumping off point was Penta, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When Penta debuted. Oh, I lost to him and everything. I got to learn this. Split happens there in the story.
Right.
Penta's doing all this stuff. I think Penta wins the IC title at Mania, and Gable's training completes right around Mania time. And then I think they go into something post-Mania.
Okay.
I can see that.
Maybe more mask off, more straight up.
Yeah.
A mask for mask match.
Ooh. Yeah, which honestly, I could see them doing that even with like Rey Fenix if he comes in.
Sure.
And, you know, because maybe Rey's like, hey, we got to call in, you know, the big guns. And then, you know, like in comes Rey Fenix or something like that. Because he.
And then maybe that's where American Made comes back in too. You have some of the Creeds versus Penta and Phoenix, and then mixing it in as they build the Gable and Penta rematch.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm
okay with it. I'm okay with those some things. And look, ultimately, I'm just some asshole on the internet who has an opinion, so it doesn't really matter. But like, I'm okay with it if it leads to something that has benefit for Gable in the long run, because we have been such a huge fan of his on this show for so long that I just want to see Chad Gable get that moment with a singles title that I know he will crush. We all know he will crush. So maybe this is the pathway to that. And it's just taking a little bit more of an unconventional route, which is completely fine. I don't foresee El Grande Americano existing for much longer than what it currently has. It doesn't seem like as much of a long shelf life. But in any case, though, it's still something that it puts Chad Gable on our TV every week. I just felt like maybe don't touch that aspect of it. Everything else was fine. Just that aspect just seemed to be, that's not, but it's okay. Whatever. I digress on the topic and it's all good. Because it was still, I mean, go and watch the match. It was a fucking great match too. I mean, Dragon Lee and Chad Gable. Come on. Like, are you serious, man? Like, it's fucking talent.
No. What? El Grande Americano.
Dragon Lee versus Dragon Lee. El Grande Americano, legendary luchador.
These baseless accusations are getting out of hand.
Ridiculous.
I'm so sorry. Before we move on to our main event meet, let us, though, talk about real quick, the confrontation that we saw between CM Punkius, Seth Rollinius, and one Roman Reignius. This was pretty straightforward. Nothing all that crazy. This is what we had expected. I appreciate it's direct, how direct it was, Matt. That's what I appreciate.
Yeah. That's and that's all that it, we don't have to linger on it because I think it's gonna grow from here. This finally really lit the fuse on the three-way match and made it official and everything like that. I also am glad that they fully established Punk said, hey, I'm still owed a favor. Mm-hmm. This ain't it. I'm not doing it now. But remember, kind of wink, wink, remember that shit, Paul.
Yeah.
So it's still there. It's still in the wings. But these guys just friggin' hate each other.
And I didn't get to see the Punk coming out and on Monday Night Raw. Was there anything in particular from
good.
That?
Yeah. The big takeaway there, which is another thing to play on, which is cool, was he just relayed everything that's happened so far. But just the outline was basically the Cosby line. Boy, I brought you into this world. I can take you out.
Yeah.
Because remember, CM Punk, within the narrative, is the one that brought the Shield to WWE to take out his opponents and be his insurance policy, etc. And then they grew from there. So, like, I totally forgot about that aspect of the story. So that adds another wrinkle
to
this already. So it's just a great, I don't want to say blood feud, but just like grudge match, right? Yeah. Between three guys who just can't stand each other. And I think you're going to have an awesome match.
Yeah. I mean, they've all had encounters, Jake, throughout their careers in different capacities. But also, like, you know, when you think about CM Punk with Roman Reigns, there was a infamous Colt Cabana interviews where it was like, oh, you got to put him over, you know, all those things. I remember, you know, listening to that and being like, what the hell? That's crazy. There does seem to be something here, but does it feel something I've been seeing, Jake, that people have been saying is that it feels forced. Do you agree with that sentiment?
No, people are stupid. No, that's notes. Okay. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just, it seems forced that three people
don't like each other.
Who don't like each other, want to kill each other.
And have significant history with each other on antagonistic front. Like,
right. What are we talking about?
If Punk had never really interacted with like Roman and anything to this point, but they did the War Games thing.
Yeah.
Seth and Punk have had their thing since he came back. Like, there's been a ton of intertwining. So it makes sense that they're all coming together.
This has been brewing for 2 years.
Yeah.
What are you talking about out of nowhere?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. This is going to be exciting. I'm very, very much pumped for the matchup because it's going to be gruesome. Like, they're going to beat the crap out of each other. This isn't going to be like, you know, your typical wrestling match. Especially if Hell in a Cell with Drew and Punk was any indication, or War Games was any indication. This is going to be a really, really vicious bout. Going from a match that, I'm looking forward to one that I'm kind of, you know, excited for, but it's going to be okay. You know, right now, at the very least, maybe it could change. We got Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. Now, things are starting to build up over here, but there was, I'm going to tell you my one thing that grinds my gears. Okay, I have just one segment style that grinds my gears. It is the side-to-side promo video interview thing. I just do not like that format.
It sucks when multiple people are looking straight at a camera and trying to have, like, as if they're having a conversation on a video. Isn't it terrible? It's awful when there's a
build to a matchup. Feels odd. I don't know.
I don't mind it.
I don't, it's different because I hadn't done it in a while. So like visually it does kind of break things up a little bit. I would probably imagine that is like the reasoning that they had given.
I like it when a good example of it, I think was Riddle and Rollins from a couple of years ago. If it's so tense where like your explanation is, I'm worried these two are just going to kill each other if they're in the ring or the same room.
Yeah.
So we're going to put them in different rooms. This isn't that.
No.
So it did feel weird. They could have done an in-ring promo.
Like, I would have liked there to have been a Byron Saxton interview or a Kathy Kelly interview, like with both of them, you know, because like they already had the fight. So it's like maybe they could be professional and then they could have this interview, but then they have another fight. You know, like that's where I would have liked it to go, because I think the problem with this format, and we kind of saw it play out a lot, was a lot of over talking, right? And
Well, another reason that I think that they could have done it this way is also the reason that I think it's the build is kind of floundering. They do not have chemistry.
That's a big one.
They do not have any chemistry.
Yeah.
They just don't. Like, and this segment's a great example because, like, everyone is talking about, like, oh man, Charlotte, you know, Charlotte talked Tiffy under the table and made her look amateur, made her look weak. No, I think she just bulldozed the segment.
Yeah.
And Tiffany's trying to keep it on the tracks, but she's like, this is not at all. It kind of reeked of that segment where she and Becky were supposed to exchange belts. Yeah. She just threw it on the ground. That's what it felt like to me. It didn't feel like a character tension. It felt like performer tension to me.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's kind of how it vibe. Felt.
It was a very uncomfortable watch because I did feel that as well, where I was like, this isn't, Tiffany hasn't been able to say anything. And I don't know been like the point, because I know that like she's the bad guy and Charlotte's the bad guy. And she's going to say bad guy things, and that's perfectly fine. Right. But you need to have the people talk to one another. Otherwise, it's just going to sound like a jumble of words. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's I hope that they can. I'm sure they're going to get things back on the rails. I just don't know what direction.
I mean, they might have great ring chemistry. We don't know. We won't know until WrestleMania.
Probably do, honestly, because they're two phenomenal wrestlers. So
right, but you know. they just.
Because it also feels like it's the same person. It's the same character. I kind of wish that they leaned more into that a little bit more, right? Like they're trying to, but like they're not like, because again, it all comes back around to like, you're just doing the Charlotte Flair. And it's like, yeah, but no, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Matt, what do you have any closing thoughts on this?
I think at the risk of being bold, I do feel like it could be a little bit of a case of too soon, too fast for Tiffany.
To be in
this situation, she's still freaking new, man. I don't care what anyone says.
Right.
It doesn't take 6 months of being hot to be like good, and then you need years and years. And I don't know. I forget how long her run in NXT was, a couple years, right? But like she wasn't there for 5-6 years. It was like 2-3. And then she's been on the main roster for like a year or two. Hopefully I'm terrible with numbers, but like,
no, but like, you're not wrong though. I mean, she
doesn't have that confidence to like, to rise to that, to challenge a Charlotte when she maybe takes over a semi. And you kind of have to, especially as the baby face, if it doesn't, you have to rise to that and like push back a little bit.
And also, Tiffany's character is very like, you know, I'm the best and I'm so good. And this is, you know, it's Tiffy time and you need to be paying attention to me. And it's like a lot of the same things, but it's like, I think now we kind of got to break through the catchphrases and we got to get through to the motivations of like what the character is looking to do. I don't
know. Tiffany needs to go watch when Alexa Bliss became a face.
Well, how do you mean?
You can still do that character and be a face. It's just a matter of like when. Like you don't need to have when and how. You don't need to have your foot on the arrogance pedal the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, like downshift a little bit, show a little vulnerability, but then bring the confidence back up.
At what point was Alexa Bliss doing that in her career versus Tiffany Stratton, right? Which I think, if I'm correct, Alexa Bliss was like kind of in at this point. She was
further along.
Not to take anything away from Tiffany, because she has been doing this for quite some time as well to her own right. But, you know, in the scale of like Charlotte and whatnot. But I also think too, and I'm going to be honest, we're putting a lot of the blame on Tiffany here, and we probably shouldn't. And it should actually be directed towards Charlotte, because you're the veteran in this situation. I don't know. I just kind of feel like maybe this is a little too much, but that promo was very like, Okay, you have no intention of like making Tiffany Stratton look just as good
You do. That's exactly how it felt to me. Of like, you don't deserve to be put in this position.
Yeah. And now, if you want to play with that from a story perspective, that's fine.
Right.
But you gotta hit.
Don't
the notes.
Air this shit out on. Yeah, I don't know.
You gotta
I
hit
mean,
the notes.
It just was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right now the notes aren't being hit, but. That doesn't mean that it's impossible, that it cannot happen. Most definitely can. In the world of professional wrestling, one day it's hot, sometimes it's not. One day you're over, sometimes you're under. It all depends, you know. But
52 weeks a year, though.
Exactly.
So you always, always another chance to correct it.
And I do think that, like, you know, Triple H and them have a plan, but it does go back to whether or not Charlotte's playing ball. And you can kind of tell in these videos and these promos and but we'll see. We'll see. One guy who's been playing ball for a very long time, and he has a lot of grievances with everyone because of how long he's been playing ball. John Cena's back again, this time around telling everyone the motivation, the why, or his goal, rather, of why he is doing what he wants to accomplish. He wants to be the last real champion. Fellas, I loved this shit. I loved it. I thought he talked about the spinner belt. He said, I brought out the spinner belt and you called it a toy, and it was not a toy. It was a championship. And oh my God, it was amazing. Jake, I know that you were lapping this up. What are your thoughts on this? And also Cody's response as well.
I mean, it's always fun. Like, this felt like watching a Bond movie where the villain is like, no, Mr. Bond, here's my entire plan, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Except I kind of feel like the villain could win this time.
Yeah.
You know, like, you never feel that way with James Bond. But in this case, James Bond didn't have to fight 16-time world champion John Cena.
That's right.
It's true, man. It's true.
So, yeah, I thought it was great. I love that he was just like, oh, you thought that, like, I mean, he's literally taking everything fans have said. Like, has this man kept a book?
Yeah,
of like,
probably.
I mean, you know that meme of where it shows Ryan from The Office and he's going, just writing something down and then that's what it feels like John Cena has been doing, where it's just like, okay, I'm going to take note of that. And I'm going to bring it back later. I mean, because this man, like he's talking about shit that happened in, what was it, 2008?
Oh, yeah, dude.
To the, like, holy shit. Like, this man has held on to these grudges. And look at that man. He's not happy.
It's so
he's
good.
He's not happy.
It's so good.
Yeah, I love when he just stared that kid in the face. There was one on this entrance.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, the kid was like, oh, my God, you could tell. He was like, am I going to get his towel? Am I going to get his towel? Is John Cena, like, going to say hi to me? And he just stared right at that kid and then walked away. Man, he's doing some great stuff. He's doing some great stuff. Now, as for Cody, like, does it feel... I don't know. I want to see the moment where they're both talking to each other and not just here comes Cena with his thing. Now here comes Cody, and Cody's going to say his piece and John's going to
out. Yeah.
And then we're out.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the moment where we're going to see a battle on the mic. And maybe that's been the point of this, is like building up to that, of keeping it, you know, doing the same principle as, well, we don't want to see them touch each other until WrestleMania. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. So are we talking like 2 weeks before is when we're finally going to start to see some movement? Because it's getting a little formulaic.
It is. But there was a goal.
But that also may be the point, that may be why Cena's doing it too, of being like, no, we're going to do things how I want to do things. And yeah. I'm not saying a behind the scenes thing. I'm saying this as a
story. Of course.
Story.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very interested to see where this goes, I'm ready. I'm ready for this to hit another gear.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm ready for this to hit another gear, because we're about to be 3 weeks out.
Yeah,
just 3 weeks. That's yep. That's close. That's going to sneak up on us.
I do like, though, that we are just getting so many callbacks. That we're just getting so many of these, like, details, you know, that we as a viewer have been paying attention to for years. And Matt, John Cena is, like, forcing us to pay attention. And I can't help but wonder that if he does, if and when, because he's winning. When he wins.
Feels like it.
When he wins and he retires that belt, or in when he wins, does he bring back the spinner? That's what I want to know.
I mean, he said he was going to ruin wrestling. And
he's gonna ruin wrestling, dude.
By ruining the belt and just doing the John Cena you all bagged on while he was at the height of his power, you know, Super Cena, Spinner Cena, you know, all that stuff. When does he just embrace that fully as a champion? Should he win? And again, to the point of like, no, I'm not going to get new music. No, I'm not going to like wear all black. He's like, no, I'm going to be the John Cena you all so hard turned on years ago. And then, you know, all of a sudden came around to me lately. I'll let you guys put my only thing on this. Is it a little odd, or are we just baiting the hook more? Zero mention of the Rock. And well, or why involvement, how.
So I think that this has been intentional, to Jake's point.
I think so too. I'm just wondering how long we think they're going to keep going.
Yeah, he says his thing, you know, like why he turned his back. We now know why he turned his back on the fans. This week, we now know what his ultimate goal is going to be when he does win the championship. So I think reasonably next up, it's going to be why I partnered with The Rock and to a lesser extent, Travis Scott. but by the way, much lesser extent. But yeah, I feel like that's kind of where it's going. And then Cody's like coming out and responding to each one has been interesting. But it's kind of the same thing with the Women's World Championship, where that has also been rather formulaic, right? One of them comes out, the other one comes out, then they shove Io's face, and then the crowd has a very reasonable whoa reaction, and then fists are flying. And that's happened now three times. So, you know, they're clearly running plays here and patterns. And Pat took a turn for any office.
So you're saying that Cody needs to defend the championship against Rhea Ripley with John as
I think that's reasonable with Tiffany Stratton maybe as a special guest referee, but Charlotte Flair just steals it from her at last second. You know, I think something like that works out quite well. Yeah,
that would ruin wrestling.
The thing that also I can't help but think about, and this is going to be the final thing where I leave it off at in this topic before we wrap things up. Doesn't this feel a little bit like the inverse of Money in the Bank 2011, right? Where like CM Punk said, I'm going to win this belt and I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm going home. And this is very much the same thing that John Cena was angry about CM Punk doing. I remember those promos, him saying, how could you want to take this legacy and go away? And I feel like that there is something there. There's meat on the bone, fellas.
Could this be a way that Cody gets back the Winged Eagle title? Maybe Cena does retire.
Everyone's favorite terminology as well, isn't that right, Matt? Winged Eagle.
Winged. The Winged Eagle.
Wingeded Eagle.
Wait, so GB, are you alluding to the fact that maybe a Cena win reignites a Cena Punk rivalry
for
the title, and then they flip roles from 13, 14 years ago?
He's going to win. Right. What happens? This is where I think would be really fun. Right. And you know what? I'm just going to shoot it up here real fast. I'm just going to give y'all some fantasy booking. But this is what I want to see happen. OK. And I'm just going to call it. Cena wins. Cena leaves. Cena's like, this is a thing I said I was going to do. And
early
I'm done.
Retirement.
I am retiring. I am done. Right. And this is how you keep Cena off TV for a little while, which is really good. And then you have a tournament for the new champion, however that may be, right? And then CM Punk wins it, that shit.
And then Cena comes
and
out.
And then Cena comes out. But no, and then Punk's just like, I'm the world champion here. Like, he cuts the most scathing promo. And then Cena's like, wait a minute. No. You don't get to do this thing. And you literally are replaying the Money in the Bank 2011 scenario, except now and you get now, a definitive and conclusion.
Now, just like then, new music hits. And we're like, well, whose music is that? And it's Cena. He comes,
comes in with the Thuganomics music or something like that. Like, maybe. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of directions that they can go in, but it does feel like this is perfect. It's ripe with opportunity. Like, there's just go for it. Just do it. People want it. Punk is super over. Cena Punk will always be a hit. Just do it. Hopefully we get to that point. You guys think I'm crazy or you think it's
happening? No.
No? Okay. All right. No. I was expecting pushback.
Very real possibility.
Yeah, I was expecting maybe a little bit of pushback, you know, but I'm glad I didn't. Let us know in the comments down below what you think is going to happen, and also spam some meat. Do you think you're going to see John Cena as our new Emperor, God, King, World Champion, or will the hero save the day? I think we all know, given where the state of the world is, where things are going there. Throughout the last few weeks, we have had an awesome segment, Jake's Retro Rippage. That is where we celebrate and share Jake's findings of these WCW trading cards that he had pulled up from the dusty chest that was located in a desert in Egypt. And he had went scavenging with Harrison Ford, and they had found that together.
Yeah.
The lore is growing.
So this week we did the poll in our Discord to see which pack number it was going to be this week. And number nine was the winner this week.
Wow. Okay.
So let's pop it open here real quick. Nine. And see...
El Gigante. What we have, gotta get El Gigante.
If we have all right, Doom, starting out. Doom. Stinger.
Starting. Love it.
We're having fun now. Still don't understand that. Terry Taylor is our next card.
There you go.
Absolutely nothing interesting on the back of that.
Come on, man. Give the guy something.
Fabulous Freebirds.
Hell to once the years. Yeah.
Featuring right there. Michael PSAs.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And Terry Bam Bam Gordy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, here we go. Mr. Wall Street is back.
Ah, yeah, Mike.
We haven't got one of those in a minute.
Yeah. Well, we've only gotten one, actually. Here's another Lex Luger.
Look at his media.
Future Hall of Famer. Steiner Brothers.
Nice.
Yeah.
I forgot he went to Michigan.
Name his brother tag team.
Well. Oh, well, we have another Sting.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Different pose, different mega.
Whose motto is apparently also no pain, no gain.
And we're having fun now.
And we're having fun now without any pain.
They gave him the most ridiculous. Yeah. What was that? All right. We got a Ric Flair.
Who's holding the sun, apparently.
Uh-huh.
In the palm of his hands.
What the hell is he holding? Is that I think that's just coincidence.
Is it just
I think yeah, light in the background. It just looks
like light shines and flare.
Southern Boys featuring
Southern Boy, baby.
Steve Armstrong.
Nice.
Toughest opponent, Fabulous Freebirds.
Okay, fair.
Sid Vicious.
Oh, and the singlet. Look at that.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Nice.
We got another Southern Boys.
Okay.
Featuring both of them on the back here.
Hell yeah.
And then finally.
El Gigante.
Nope. Ruined once again by Ric Flair.
Oh, Ric Flair.
Of course. Ruined everything.
Flair. Yeah.
Unreal.
The latest and the greatest.
Wow. And John Cena is going to ruin him. He's going to ruin his legacy. Oh, boy.
That's right.
Well, there you have it. Who?
Ric who?
Yeah. That is going to do it, folks, for us here today.
Before we go, I got a little thing I want you to draw in the comments down below. I have a fun one today. I want you in the comments down below to tell me which wrestler you think would be stupid enough to accidentally text their evil plans to their opponent. Tell me down below. Who do you think it would be?
For sure. That's a good one. That's a good one.
I will take a stab at
Carlito 1000%.
Carlito would do
texting the Judgment Day group text and accidentally sends it like to like creative or his WhatsApp.
Don Callis, without a doubt, would inadvertently, because I don't think Don Callis knows how to work a phone. He's not like Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's got two different phones for things, you know, but
yeah, he's got a burner.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Paul Heyman's, he's secure. Put him in my administration. I know that Paul Heyman's got everything covered. Make him the next Attorney General. All right, folks, there you have it. You got your assignment. So let us know in the comment section down below and we'll find a good one and put it up on the podcast. And also you can share it on Discord as well. So if you have another fun one there, put it in Discord if you have a fun response to Jake's question of the week. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. If you happen to enjoy this, make sure you subscribe. You can also check us out across all the podcast platforms that it's out there. Apparently can't comment on Spotify anymore, according to Matt. That's bad. But, you know, I won't say that anymore. But you can, of course, rate and review us across Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that, you know, good stuff. Follow us at rebookpod.com as well. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next Wednesday. Take care, everyone. Peace.